is Bruce Springsteen and E Street Band.
Yeah. This is Tito Jackson.
This is Jackie Jackson.
This is Jermaine Jackson.
Hi, I'm Robin Leach with those Champagne Wishes and Caviar Dreams.
Hey, this is Mikey Wax.
Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Wishing you and yours a very rewarding Christmas and a fabulously famous New Year.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
You're listening to the Sounds of Christmas
podcast.
Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. Very excited to have indie songwriter Rhea Stevens back on the Sounds of Christmas podcast once again. Hi, Rhea.
Hey, Ken.
I know we talked about this last time, but for anybody who didn't catch that episode, is indie songwriter the way you like to be referred to?
Well, indie is generally referred to as acoustic, like, you know, kind of acoustic and more hipster, I think. But independent is what I am. I'm an independent songwriter that makes a lot of Christmas music, but it's not necessarily acoustic.
Yeah, I can certainly attest to that. And anybody who has heard you on the Sounds of Christmas or has streamed your previous Christmas stuff knows that, or you're not Christmas music. We talked 2-3 months ago, I think it was, and I had an inkling that maybe there was some Christmas music on the way, but I didn't know details. And it was all still in the works. You sort of shared what you could, but now it's out there. Santa's taken over the town.
Santa's taken over the town. Yes, the CD is out now. It includes the 10 song brand new album, Santa's Taken Over the Town, plus my Tis the Season album, which was released in 2021, right after COVID. That is, to me, it's such a great album, but it just, the whole world was just kind of asleep at that time.
Yeah.
And so I'm putting them both on one CD. There are signed copies, but if you are a digital connoisseur only, then Santa's Taken Over the Town will be available on Friday, November 24th, the day after Thanksgiving. And Tis the Season is already released. So you can find that on all streaming platforms as well.
Now, something that's really neat that you've been doing is you've been posting these videos where you sort of do deep dives into the different songs. And I don't want to spoil that for everybody, but I do want to talk about a few of them. And the first thing I was surprised to find out was that the song Tis the Season was actually supposed to be on your first Christmas album, Celebrate.
Yeah, that was the plan. And John Kubis, who I worked with on that whole album, on the whole Celebrate album, he does most of the arrangements on Dancing with the Stars. And he has an insane schedule where he does not sleep for weeks on end when he's working on that show. And honestly, Celebrate was made over a 2.5 year period. Whenever there was time in between the Dancing with the Stars seasons, so we kind of had to get in and get done what we could. And Tis the Season ended up on the chopping block. we just didn't have time. He had to get back to work on the show, and so we finished it a couple years later. We didn't finish it till I think 2020. And so that became the leader of the Tis the Season album.
And it also showed up in, was it Disney Plus movie and Netflix movie?
Yeah, it was Disney Plus Noel alongside Jingle Jangle. Both of those songs were in that movie. And it showed up in a Victoria's Secret holiday ad in 2020. And it showed up last year in the Peacock series, One of Us is Lying. So that song is kind of slowly making her way into some really cool things, and it's fun to watch.
Yeah, it's definitely going places.
Yeah.
the new album, Santa's Taken Over the Town. I believe these are all original songs, aren't they?
They're all original songs, if you can believe it. I can't stop.
Well, and that's what Celebrate was all original. And I think yes. 'Tis the Season had a couple covers on it, didn't it?
It had three covers.
Yeah.
And the rest of them were eight songs are original and 'Tis the Season, and three are covers. And then Santa's Taken Over the Town is all original, 10 songs.
Okay, I was going to save this question till the end, but it's bugging me, so I got to ask, because last time we talked, you had mentioned having, I don't remember if it was a notebook or legal pads or something, where you have lots of other ideas for Christmas music.
Yes, well, honestly, I mean, I'm just always churning up song ideas. I've been doing this since I was a child, so it's not like I can stop doing it. They just come to me and I record them in my phone, or if I'm in the studio, I record them in the studio and I just lay down the ideas, and some of them stick and some of them really don't. But sometimes I just, if my mind will not let me let go of something, then I know I have to finish it. So yes, there are a lot of other Christmas ideas, and so who knows, maybe this Christmas I'll work on some of those.
Yeah, that's a question I usually save till the end. And after we have talked all about the new music that you've just released, I can't help but ask, so when do we get more? I know it's in the works. So the first single from the new album was a very personal song, Early Winter. What can you tell us about that one?
Early Winter is a very personal song. And I left Los Angeles after 23 years of living there and having built a life, or built really a career and a life full of colleagues that I loved and treasured. But you know, there's, when you're living in Los Angeles for a long time, or New York, or any of these big cities, I mean, you get banged around a lot. You just do, especially in the entertainment industry. And I think the ebb and flow of people coming into your life and leaving your life, it's just a universal theme, because it's a transient city. You know, people come, and if they don't make it in 5 years, they leave. And so it's just, that song is about the cycle of investment loss, and also lessons learned throughout that process. I mean, sometimes what seems like a failure season in your life is chock full of lessons that serve you for the rest of your life. So, I mean, just because a season fades, it's not the end of the story. It's just simply the fading of a chapter. So, but your chapters in your life, they need to fade, because the story's got to evolve. So when I left Los Angeles and moved up to Northern California, for whatever reason, I don't think it was even because I had moved, but I had three people that were like integral to my early adulthood in Los Angeles, who I hadn't spoken to in over a decade, that reached out. And I mean, really, over a course of a year, we, in all three of those relationships, we kind of aired it all out. Like, okay, this is what happened. This was my misstep. This was my misstep. And wow, look at where we are now. And so that whole winter of 2022 into 2023, that was kind of the theme of my life, was reconnection with a lot of people that I hadn't spoken to in a long time after I had already left the city. So it just, life is so interesting to me, the way that works. And it's like, when you shift the energy, other people's energy kind of shifts too. And I could have never expected those reunions. So Early Winter was really inspired by that. And we all have that, you know, we all have those relationships, and you just hope that you don't have to, you know, God willing, you become an elderly and you're in your rocking chair on your porch. You know, you hope that you have some people throughout your life that are still with you and able to reminisce with you and reflect on the growth that you've had. But to have that happen while you're still in your hustle years is pretty amazing. That was a big gift.
When I listened to Early Winter, it immediately brought to mind my first marriage. And it was very difficult when things were going badly, and then it ended, and somebody I care about a lot told me that I need to remember that this is not forever, this is for right now.
Yeah.
And I'm glad, because I did learn that first marriage lasted about 10 years, and I did learn things that I would not otherwise have learned had I not experienced that. I'm glad it's over, but
I know. Yeah. Life is a pretty keen teacher.
Do you find a lot of times that even after you explain where a song came from and what it means to you and how it works and everything, do you find a lot of times that somebody will tell you, well, no, it means this. Obviously, it means this.
I haven't really found that yet. I mean, I guess that maybe I don't have a big enough following to have those kinds of conversations. I'd love to hear, though, what another person's perspective on it is. But I mean, really, it's Early Winter. It could be the death of a loved one. It could be a divorce. It could be the ending of a friendship. That it's part of the human experience. Goodbyes are part of the human experience. And I guess it was comforting for me to write this song as a reminder to myself, this too shall pass. And when the sun comes out again, the things that remain underneath all of that cold, snow, everything that died brings life to the next thing. And you just end up in a new season.
Yeah.
And I think death is the same way. You know, I don't think that we go back into a higher energy and we're better, we're different. So, I just think that's the cycle of life, as painful as it is. And the sad thing is that the most painful part of goodbyes are when we're trying to hold on. Just trying to hold on to something that is no longer.
Yeah. And a song that is like 180 degrees from that, Be My Baby by Christmas Night.
Yes. That is 180 degrees.
That was the next single. And where did that one come from?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I mean, it came from a few different scenarios. I remember the first time I had a broken heart. I think I was a freshman in high school. And there was this guy who was a senior in high school who I was not allowed to date. But he was really laying it on thick and putting romantic notes in my locker and, you know, stuff like that. And I was so taken by him. I mean, I don't know, but I was too young for him. I couldn't date him. My father would not let me. He was like the quarterback of the football team and all that kind of stuff. And my dad said, no way, this is not happening. And I was so humiliated and crushed by the whole thing. And, you know, he just kind of dropped me like a hot potato. As soon as, you know, he'd moved on to somebody else. I think he actually had a longtime girlfriend at the time, too, that he was trying to get together with me. But I didn't find that out till much later. But that winter break, I spent the whole winter break just like pining and dreaming of him. And every time I'd go out, it was like, you know what limerence is? Like when people fall into this limerent state of mind where they're kind of living in a dream. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like that. And every time I'd go to the grocery store or wherever, I'd dress up and hope that I would run into him. And I wanted him to call me so badly on Christmas, and he never did. And it was the most miserable Christmas ever. And then I was kind of back and forth with this guy for 7 years, in my 20s. And our relationship came to an end, no more back and forth, because he had found somebody else. And I mean, and like in retrospect, you look back and you're like, thank God. Thank God. So anyway, he fell for somebody else. I got dumped a couple months before Christmas, and I'd moved into a new place. And, brought my black cat, Gigi, I loved that cat. Oh my God. She was so naughty. And anyway, she escaped a couple days before Christmas. And, it's so funny because when I wrote this song, I was thinking more about her. I was thinking about any of the, so that was like a really, really brokenhearted Christmas. And I eventually, found her after a long pursuit of searching for her. She went over to my neighbor's house. She'd been over at my neighbor's house all day long, feasting on this really elegant Shabbat dinner that my neighbor had made for her whole family. And anyway, when I came up the elevator and was coming out of the elevator, there's my cat like running down the hallway with a lamb shank in her mouth after I'd been searching for her for 12 hours. So Be My Baby by Christmas Night was kind of a summation of all of those things. But I think what gives it like that, there's a certain, I guess, like platonic feeling to it. Like it's romantic, but it's also platonic and really buoyant. And all of those piano glisses make me think of my cat running down the hallway with the lamb shank in her mouth. So it feels to me like that day when I lost my cat. And I remember that day so clearly all these days later. I was just like, this is insane. I've already got a broken heart, and now I've lost my cat. It's Christmas. And so, yeah, that's what that song was inspired by.
And the third single is Wonderful World Tonight. Right?
Yes, but you helped me choose. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Where did that one come from?
Well, I think we all get into a retrospective kind of mood. I mean, I guess I can only speak for myself, but when I was a kid, a teenager, during those years between like 13 and 16 before you could drive, and Christmas around the house felt so boring because I couldn't drive yet. I wanted to be out in the world. I wanted to be out doing fun things. And so as soon as I got my driver's license at 16, all through winter break, I would be out doing things with friends. And even if it was just like taking a day trip to Tahoe and talking about boys the whole way up to the snow. And I mean, we didn't have any money, so we would just go up there and get a Starbucks or whatever. And that's all we could afford to do was like the gas and the Starbucks. And that was it. So Wonderful World Tonight, it's just about getting out with friends, with a whimsical kind of, plan, but no plan. And I think as adults, it's hard. I mean, we're so committed to our families around the holidays. And so we end up doing a lot of that. But to me, sometimes those memories all start to run together. Like I can't differentiate one Christmas from the next. But when I actually make a plan with a few friends that are outside of my immediate family and do something that's festive at Christmas time, those are the most memorable Christmas memories ever.
Yeah. So I think there's just something about Christmas time that we want everything to be perfect, and we get so busy with filling up our schedules every minute that we miss it. And when we put in those moments like you're talking about with our friends, where we just go up the mountain to Starbucks, you know.
It doesn't have to be, because you know what? Yeah. Our minds are too full to make a plan. I mean, sometimes just making a plan is too stressful. Yeah. You just got to get in the car and go. Hey, go. I'm picking you up and let's go. Let's just go figure it out.
Yeah. 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 At Christmas time, especially the last few days, I used to anyway, love to be at the mall. That's when I was doing my Christmas shopping, not because I was procrastinating, but there's just some kind of magic when you get to those last few days before Christmas. And I liked being out in it, and it all just felt really festive. And, you know, I like to shop by thinking, what is something they would really like? Not necessarily that they need, but what's something that they really like? So I didn't have a specific list, you know, get this towel with this code number and this particular color. And, you know, I didn't have any of that sort of stuff. I would just pass through, and I'm walking through Macy's and I'm like, you know what? I bet she'd love that. And
it's fun. It's creative. Yeah,
it's fun. And it feels it. I know Christmas isn't about the shopping. Please save your emails. I know that. But I'm just saying, it's just one of those things when you're doing it like that, when you're in a store and you're just, you don't let yourself get into stressed with your list. Oh my God, I've got to get stocking stuffers for the kids, and I've got to get these gifts for these people and these kids. When you can allow yourself to go, you know what? They'd love that. That would make them happy. And it doesn't have to be, you know, the latest Xbox, PlayStation, whatever. It doesn't have to be $1,000 gift, but just, you know, when you think about it, you know, when you take the time. And so much of the holiday season, all of December, usually gets filled up with obligations and tasks. And I just think most of us are just so busy that we wake up and it's the 26th.
I know. That is so sad when that happens. I know. Or I remember even during my college years, for anybody who's listening, I mean, I would go home to see my family and I had no energy. I would sleep all through the winter break, and I just couldn't hang. I was exhausted.
I remember going on a winter vacation after the semester was over, and I came home from school, and we went to the beach. My parents got a condo, and everybody had a room, and I just wanted to sleep. And my mom said, "You can sleep when you get home." And I said, "No, I can't. I've got 7:30 classes. I've got all this stuff I have to do. This is Merry Christmas to me. I'm gonna sleep."
I know. You know, I look back on those times too. My family used to do the same thing, where they would, you know, rent a cabin, or, you know, for all of us, and we would all go. And my sister's kids were little. I don't have kids, but I really wanted to spend a lot of time with them. And those kids were crazy, you know, and they'd be like in my room at 4:30 in the morning and 5 o'clock in the morning. And if I could go back, I don't think I would have slept so much during that time, because now my parents are too old to travel. They don't, you know, they need to stay home. They need to be close to, you know, they need to be close to the homestead. So they, you know, my dad can't handle, his blood pressure can't handle being at high altitude, so he can't go to the mountains, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, but the fatigue level at that age was, I mean, I could have fallen asleep standing up.
Yeah.
It was intense. It was intense, but I wish that I would have stressed less. I mean, you can always say that, right? But if maybe if you were to go back there in this moment and be back there again, you would feel exactly the same way that you felt back then. So always easy to say that in retrospect.
Yeah, we always have these memories of Christmas past where maybe I should have done this or maybe I should have done that. But it's the human condition. I think we all try and do the best we can.
And, yeah.
You know, and I love the idea of taking some time to remember the things that you can't buy in a store and spending time with people that you care about doing. It doesn't have to be doing anything, you know, around the table, eating, not eating, playing cards, playing whatever, walking or driving through the neighborhood and looking at the lights.
Exactly. I have this this desire in my life to take those experiences and just put them in a different setting, because sometimes I think if you're doing those things but it's always in the same place, your mind doesn't differentiate them in such a vivid way. So, you know, like this year, my dad and I always love to have coffee together, but I want to take him to a few of my favorite cafes, find a place that's not too noisy where he can hear and engage in the conversation. Okay. And just feel the fresh air, get him out of his house, get him and have these new fresh memories in a different setting. You know, it's kind of like, you know, when you were a kid and it would be like, oh, they're coming over to my house, you know, for a sleepover. Well, was it more exciting for your friend because they were coming to a new place? Or was it as exciting for you because they were coming to your place? I always felt like if I was going to a friend's house, oh, this is new. I've never been to their house. I want to see how they do things. I want to see how I want to live in their reality for a while. It just feels nice to just kind of get a fresh perspective. And, you know, you create a memory that has different visuals. So anyway, for whatever that's worth.
Have you ever had the experience of spending Christmas morning with somebody else, somebody else's family, other friends?
I am pretty much always with my family. And the family, I mean, some generations are still alive, others have passed. I did used to go to my sister's before my sister got married. When I was a teenager, she would let me tag along to her boyfriend's house, that's now her husband. So he's, you know, we're family now. But when his mother was alive, she made Christmas so spectacular. She was kind of the matriarch of the Placerville community. I mean, she was always trying to get me involved in them, but I never wanted to. She put on these pageants all over Placer County for teenagers and had all these teenagers and pageants and all this kind of stuff. And I was never interested in that, but she was really into decorating, and she would buy all of these really elegant purses and jewelry and, you know, just little kind of costumey type of things. And she would always, I'd always get those little gifts from her under the tree, but I loved being in her holiday environment because it was so festive. I mean, there wasn't a corner of her home that wasn't dedicated to some Christmas scene. And I loved being around the Kennedy family because it was so different than mine. Mine was more sedate in comparison. I mean, my family they're pretty low key, pretty laid back. And hers was like, Merry Christmas, you know, so that was a lot of fun. I really cherish those memories. It was so kind of her to let the little sister tag along because I really had nothing to offer. I was just like, hi, I'm here. Where's the party? I'm ready.
I remember one Christmas, I drove for hours in the pre-dawn hours to my girlfriend's home to surprise her Christmas morning. And that was probably the first time I had ever been at, I don't want to say strangers, but it was,
yeah,
you know, a completely different experience of how they go through whatever their traditions are and everything. And that was very interesting. And possibly that prepped me for when I remarried and with my wife came two kids, and her parents were divorced and were remarried. So when Christmas rolled around, we had our Christmas, and then we went over to her mom's for Christmas part two. And then we went over to her dad's for Christmas part three. So it was thrice the Christmas. We were all exhausted by the afternoon. We were all taking naps, but it was a lot of fun, and everybody has their own things and everybody does something different. And I think that's, just to bring it all around again, I think that's one of the things that I really love about your music, is that it's not cookie cutter. It's experiences that a lot of us have had. Mm-hmm. And Christmas music has changed probably over the last, I don't know, 15, 20 years, that it got to be that way because, okay, I talk about Jingle Bell Rock almost every episode. People are going to think I really hate that song, and I don't. But Jingle Bell Rock is a fun song, but can you really relate to it? It's a little dated.
The American family is so different than it was back then. I mean, Jingle Bell Rock to me is, and even like Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, those songs are about the changing over of the 50s style music to the 60s, and how music was changing. And it was a more youthful take on how youth wanted to spend their holidays. They wanted to crank up and have loud guitars and do all that. And the kind of the rockabilly thing was coming in. But I mean, the American family doesn't even resemble now what it used to resemble in the 50s, 60s, the 70s even. I mean, the American family has grown. And that's just and in some ways, I think it's like you said about your Christmas. It's like, yes, there's more chaos, but we get to see other, you know, how other people celebrate, and it's fun. You know, it's like a Christmas train. You go to this house, then you're pulling around to this one, and then you're pulling around to this one. And, you know, it's, and it just makes Christmas bigger. I mean, maybe you feel like it's dithered because you don't have enough concentrated time with one family, but what a great way to bring everybody together and just share that one day in common, you know? I mean,
yeah. You know, I'm not bashing Jingle Bell Rock or Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree.
Oh, I know you're not.
I love all of those songs.
They're great.
But one of the things that I really love about recent and new Christmas music, and especially yours, is that they're songs that have relatable stories today. Mm-hmm. It's not a rose-colored glasses look at Christmas 60 years ago. It's, you know, it has the imperfections. Everything doesn't have to be perfect, but we're all celebrating and we're all waiting for Santa, and everybody's experience is a little bit different, and that's okay.
Yeah, but I mean, exactly. And I also look at Christmas. I mean, I think so much of what we talk about the stress of Christmas and all of these to-dos and all of this, but it's also a different kind of stress, and it's an exciting stress. I mean, I know in my life and in just the day-to-day, it's like I can't wait for the stretch between Thanksgiving and New Year, because I finally get to take my nose off the grindstone and celebrate and have a different kind of stress that's more exciting and that's more frivolous and that's less, self-serving. I mean, all year long, it's like I'm looking at my fiscal year. I'm looking at all of these. There's deadlines. There's egos to deal with. There's demands on our time that feel, that feel like an imposition. But at the holidays, it's completely different. It's like, these cookies need to be out of the oven by 4 o'clock because I've got to be at the, it's more fun. And it's an innocent time. And yes, there's drama at Christmas. I mean, I've definitely had those Christmases where it's, you've got one member of the family going, get the hell out of my house. We've all had those. And, I've got to write a song about those times too. But it's because there's just a lot of pent up. I don't even think it's from Christmas. I don't think the stress comes from Christmas. I think it comes from the stress of the year. I mean, sometimes just by the time you can, it's kind of like when people go on vacation and then they get sick. It's like, when the year starts to wind down, you start going, that was a whole lot of work. So there's a lot of different things that are going on, at the end of the year for all of us. I like to look at it like, whew, glad that's over. Okay, so now we're going to just hang out and party and all of the goofiness and whatever that goes on, whether it's me getting batter all over the ceiling and all over the cat and all over the dog and whatever, these are all of the things that we're going to laugh about later. And that's what's so fun about making, kind of having a retrospect, like a retrospective, nostalgic, like a personal memory bank with yourself, is that when you're really present during the holidays, it makes for a great retrospective later. So for me, like that really like juices me up for the year ahead. Like, woo, that was fun. I get a good, it's like re-energizing to have a really good time, like excellent laughs, really good, food and fun memories with friends and meaningful moments with family, makes it easier to get back to work in January. I've got new wind in my sails. So that's my take on Christmas. It's a relief when it comes.
I wish that some people could just understand that because I don't celebrate Christmas the same way that they do, it doesn't make me wrong.
No.
And I think that's something that adds to the holiday stress, is that people get really upset. People lose their minds. I had somebody today in November swearing at me on social media because I was posting about Christmas stuff. And this was somebody who didn't even follow me. I don't know how they found this, but I just thought, how pathetic does your life have to be that you have to go swear at a Christmas music station that you don't even follow on social media? If you don't like it, move along. It's people get into huge arguments about Die Hard, whether it's a Christmas movie or not.
I know, I've noticed. It's funny.
And I like to throw into that the song Last Christmas. I refer to Last Christmas as the Die Hard of Christmas music because it has to take place at Christmas. But really, Last Christmas doesn't have anything to do with Christmas. It just happens around that time of year. It's like Die Hard has to happen at Christmas because there has to be that Christmas party and that office building for everything to happen. But that's where it begins and ends. But if that's somebody's thing, if they've made that into some kind of tradition that they watch that every year and they love that movie, or that Last Christmas is their favorite song, it's okay. Enjoy it. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you. If that's what you like, great. Just, if it's not what you like, move on.
I know. And who knows what our memories are attached to? I mean, you know that movie Less Than Zero from the 80s?
John Cusack?
No, it's actually with Robert Downey Jr.
Okay.
Jimmy Gertz. Anyway, it's very dark. And it's all about addiction, you know, amongst teenagers who are very wealthy because their parents are very wealthy in Los Angeles. It's all this kind of Hollywood type of thing, but it takes place during Christmas and it really shows the dysfunction within, these kids' families, at Christmas time. And they're just trying to escape and they're partying and they're, you know, there's all of this excess and it's a very, very sad movie. Every Christmas, I love to watch that movie. And it's probably because I watched it one Christmas as a teenager, and I probably had a lot of empathy for the characters, and it just brings back the emotion that and how tapped in I was at that time as a kid. So whatever it is that we have attachments to, you know, why can't we just honor that?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. For me, one of the first movies I watch every holiday season is The Addams Family.
Yeah.
The opening scene has the carolers on the doorstep, and then the camera slowly pans up as you hear them singing. And there's the Addams Family on the roof with a cauldron of boiling oil that they're getting ready to pour down on the carolers. And that's the only thing. And I just think that's so iconic for the Addams Family. Yeah. And it's unexpected that the movie opens with this Christmassy scene. And I just love that. And I can't imagine that the Addams Family is a Christmas tradition for anybody else, but I love it.
Yeah, it's just our thing. I mean, I love to take walks, like really long walks, and just sing Christmas carols to myself, like the old, old, old ones that probably nobody even knows anymore. But I've been doing that since childhood. I've been doing that since I learned them, like in kindergarten and first grade and second grade and third grade. I loved to be in the yard and sing those carols and watch my breath kind of fog up the air. So it's just something that I do. And I usually will embarrass myself by running into a neighbor and they look at me funny or whatever, but it's something I do every Christmas.
Not to give you one more thing to do, but have you ever considered making an album of all those old carols?
Yes, I have. I've actually thought of doing that, but doing it in an acoustic, really stripped down setting, maybe doing public domain Christmas. There's a song on Tis the Season where I really explored that with the song All Through the Night, which is woven into The Holly and the Ivy. And my friend Nomad played, he has this really great like Italian acoustic style guitar playing. And when he sent me that, his guitar arrangement, I had just done a piano vocal arrangement and sent it to him and said, you think we could do something kind of like, you know, Italian style guitar playing meets James Taylor. And he just, you know, a couple hours later sent me the track and it's so beautiful. And it's funny because out of all of that's the track that I spent the least time on because it was so effortless. And it's just guitar and vocal. And that's the one that everybody says, oh my gosh, I love that song. Oh my gosh, that one gets me. So that gets I need to text him back. He texted me the other day and said, hey, let's talk about doing some Christmas. And I haven't gotten back to him, but I'd love to do that with him because I think we do that really well. And that's what's so fun about music is that you just kind of like, you know, I think about the players and okay, this person plays like this, who would be, you know, I kind of cast the players for different songs, or you know, the producer that I'm working with will kind of co-cast together. But that was a fluke. That was an absolute fluke that I think could turn into something magical because I was thinking, okay, after COVID, the last song on this album needs to be like we're all being watched over this like a universal theme of comfort. And it couldn't be big. It needed to be stripped down. It needed to be acoustic. And that's the song everybody seems to love the most. So there you go.
I love seeing some of these old songs rescued, you know, brought back.
I know.
Because so many of them fade away. In the 80s, the opening of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation had the song Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
And it's a great song. The history of that was that it was on Prince's record label. And right around this time, people were stealing from Prince and he didn't know what else to do. So he locked up his vault, which had that song in it. So for years, it was not available anywhere unless you watched that movie. And I thought this was going to be the most recent Christmas song that disappears.
Wow.
And it's, in the last 10 or 15 years, people have started recording it. And I think that version has finally been released. Mm-hmm. But I remember thinking about that and like, I'm watching it happen in real time. How many other songs are gone? Do you know Low How a Rose? Do you know that one?
I don't know that.
That's another one that is, that's older. That's considerably older than Christmas Vacation. But there are so many like that.
Deserve another chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love that. I mean, and not to pick on Jingle Bell Rock again, but
but here we go.
but here we go. There are a lot of versions of that one, and it would be so great if some of these other songs could get some of that attention. That's all I'm saying.
I agree. Well, I think about that. What I listen to, you know, some of my favorites. I think, gosh, it's so sad that. You know, it's only, I mean, gosh, like even off of Barbara Streisand's A Christmas Album, there's so many great songs on that record and people don't redo them. But I think part of the reason too that they don't get redone is it's business stuff. It's not public domain yet. And they've got to pay, you know, they've got to pay the writers and the publishers and you've got to get those clearances and people don't want to do it. So that's part of why that happens. And it's a shame.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Every year I see the trends of what, for some reason, lots of artists are choosing to record their takes on. And I'm seeing a lot of versions of Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Mm-hmm. And okay, it's a terrific song, but there are just so many that are just disappearing.
Yeah.
And so I would be so grateful and so excited for a Rhea Stevens Christmas album of rescuing the classics.
Oh, I love it. Well, thank you very much for the inspiration. I am gonna seriously consider that.
Okay. Yeah.
That's especially gosh, I mean, like the Holly and the Ivy to me, I have always loved that melody. Always loved that melody so much. And it's so rarely used. But like, do I know the lyrics to that? No. Does anybody know the lyrics to that? I don't think so. But what if somebody actually did write lyrics to that that became standard? That would be really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Mannheim Steamroller was really good about doing their takes on some of these older songs. And I mean, they were almost all instrumental, but still it's nice to have them and that they survive into the 21st century.
Yeah.
So there is,
I always loved Up on the Housetop.
I know
that's not like as, I don't know, eclectic. I mean, I think a lot of people know that, but I mean, I know a lot of kids today who do not know that song. They don't know Up on the Housetop. And I think, how can this be? You are completely, your childhood is incomplete without knowing Up on the Housetop. I love that song.
I'm sure that a lot of the Christmas specials that made it Christmas, certainly for me when I was a kid, I don't even know if they're on anymore. all of the Rankin Bass.
Yeah, there needs to be a Christmas channel.
Yeah, that would be great.
All of these at like a streaming, you know, special. But yeah.
I'm sure that there's the same kind of licensing issues there to try and get those away. CBS used to have a ton of them, and maybe they still run them. I know when I'm around nephews and nieces that I'll mention some of these, and they look at me like I could be speaking another language.
I know. Doesn't that make you feel so old?
It does. And I know there are people who like to say that, you know, oh, these kids today don't even know what the Island of Misfit Toys is. And okay, maybe they don't, but you know what? I bet they have some cool traditions of their own that you don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So
Santa's taken over the town. To get back to that one more, the title track, Santa's taken over the town. What can you tell me about it?
Oh, well, that song was so much fun to write. It was so much fun. I mean, I think what to me is so exciting about Christmas time is that it's everybody's collective energy of pitching in and everybody's unique holiday spirit that's contributing to the joy of the season. So like, really, we're all embodying Santa in our lives for our families, our friends, our colleagues. And it is that collective energy that makes the holidays so special. So Santa's taken over the town is like, you know, okay, you know, I'll fill up your cup, you fill up my cup. Like we're all gonna make this thing happen together, and nobody's gonna run out of energy because the energy is, it's in a constant cycle. We're all pitching in. We're all making this thing happen. But Santa's Taken Over the Town was written more literally, like, okay, you know, Mama needs a break, Papa needs a drink. Oh, for heaven's sake, everybody's on the brink. Let's have some fun. Let Santa take over the town. It's all the hustle bustle of, you know, we got to get to this festive thing and that festive thing. And, you know, the kids are driving mom crazy and they're, you know, even the kids are like, wah! And the kids are saying, let Santa take over the town. We can't wait anymore. So every character in that song is on edge. They're on edge and cannot wait for the party, basically.
Been there, done that.
Yeah.
Gonna do it again.
Yeah, that's a really, really fun song. I love that we had kind of a rockabilly vibe on that. And it's like, it's very high octane, high energy. I think that's like the most high energy song on the record. I mean, they're all very spirited on this record, but that one is like, it's got the most rock, like rah, you know, it's just such a fun song.
Now, the videos that you've been doing, have you done one or are you planning to do one for every song on the new album?
Pretty much. The ones for Santa's Taken Over the Town and Don't Be Late are my favorites that I've made so far. I think I've got three more lyric videos to make in November. For what are the ones that I still need to make lyric videos for? Welcome One and All, which is like a non-religious hymn. It's all about inclusivity. It sounds like a very standard hymn, but it's saying no matter what you believe, you're totally welcome at this table. That one needs to be made. Christmas Is Near needs to be made. And I think other than that, all of them are done. Yeah, there's lyric videos for everything.
What I was actually referring to, not the lyric videos, but the videos that you've been doing on social media where you talk about the behind the music kind of.
Yes, there are. Yes, I'm doing stories behind the songs for every song on this album. And those will start coming out on November 24th when the album is out. There will be 10 videos coming out through December 25th. And I'm doing a behind the song retrospective on the Tis the Season album as well.
Are those on your YouTube channel? Or is it just a social media thing?
From Santa's Taken Over the Town, those are all going to be on YouTube and on all of my socials. But for Tis the Season, for the retrospective videos, those are not on YouTube because I did not film them in landscape mode. I filmed them all for reels. So those are all going on my social media.
Okay. I'll put links to your YouTube channel and your social media in the show notes so people can go find those, as well as a link to get Santa's Taken Over the Town. So I've tried to pitch you on a job, and you've also mentioned all of the other Christmas songs that you've got ideas for. Doesn't have to be what's next for you. It doesn't have to be Christmas related, but what's next?
Well, I've got a whole new album ready to go, ready to launch next year. That is very singer-songwriter based, but with a gorgeous production. Has more of a, it kind of is more in the, it's the singer-songwriter realm, but it has a lot of soulful, like soulful singer-songwriter is what I would say, and some really, really fun dance tracks. But I would say like soulful singer-songwriter pop type of stuff that's pretty, I think it's sophisticated and I think it's meaningful. So I'm really excited about that new record. I just might need a couple of months off after Christmas to just gather myself and, you know.
Yeah, I was gonna ask if there was an estimated date, first quarter maybe.
Well, I haven't decided yet, but I might start releasing new songs in February and then do one song a month and then release one song a month and then release the whole album once all 12 songs are out. Just because I think anymore, you know, there's so few people that actually listen to an album the whole way through. And I like giving each song a month at least to shine. And there's some music on this on this new album coming up in 2024 that I think is some of the best I've ever done. So I'm excited about it, and I haven't really released, you know, a non-seasonal album, a full album since 2013. So
it's time.
Yeah,
nice. Very cool. Anything about Santa's Taken Over the Town that we didn't talk about that you think people should know?
I just think that if you're into CDs, this CD, the deluxe edition CD, looks like a vinyl record.
Oh, neat.
So when you pull it out, it actually looks like a vinyl record, which is so fun. And there's 21 songs on it. So there's a lot of music on the CD to keep you in the spirit for a really long time. So, if, you know, I'd love to do vinyl records, you know, coming up here in the years to come. But for now, this is the next best thing, a CD that looks like a vinyl record, and you don't have to turn it. So, you know, it's kind of the best of both worlds.
And that's exclusively on your website, right?
That is exclusively on my website. It will also be on Bandcamp on November 24th, if you want to get it there, but you can get it on my website now.
Okay. And if you're going to get it on Bandcamp, wait till the first Friday in December, because Bandcamp does those first Friday things where they waive their fees and the artists get more of the money.
I forgot about that. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Thank you for that mention.
Certainly. Rhea, it's always so much fun to talk to you. I know we got way off track, but I think
we're not
too far off track. It was still all about Christmas.
I think we did great.
Yeah.
This was fun.
Well, thank you for spending so much time with us. And I love the new album, and I'm sure that people listening will be enjoying it as well.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much, Ken. Have a wonderful day.
And thank you so much for listening and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I told you how to listen to the station, and you're already listening to the podcast, so my work here is just about done. All of our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab. And you can also find most, if not all, of the sites that stream our podcast on our Linktree page. So you can find your favorite streaming site, and then you can click over and subscribe, and you'll never miss another episode. And I'll put the link for that down in the show notes as well. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.